meditation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. We're in the seventh chapter. Knowledge of the Absolute Truth. Text 25. Naham prakasha sarvasya. I am never manifest to the foolish and unintelligent. For them I am covered by my internal potency. And therefore, they do not know that I am unborn and infallible. Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamaya Dadati Svaparantika Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadha Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the position that we are here in this material world. We're all covered by Maya, by the curtain of Maya. Therefore we pray, Om Gyana Timirandasya, please, Sri Gurudev, bring me out of this Maya. Reveal to me, through the torchlight of knowledge, the actual reality. So that reality is Krishna. He is the beginning and the end. So we want to connect with Him. This is yoga. Yoga means to connect with the Supreme. So how do we connect? In order to connect with Krishna, we have to become pure. We have to remove this curtain of Maya, this illusion, this ignorance. We have to come to the light. But not just the light, but to the source of the light. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna says, I am the beginning of that light. Just like we see the light is here. But if we trace it out, it goes to the powerhouse. So there's this Shakti. This is the light of Shakti. But there's Shaktiman. Shaktiman is the source of the Shakti. So this is Krishna. He's the source of everything, material and spiritual. And He's coming very kindly and speaking, telling people openly. But still we don't recognize. We should follow in the footsteps of those who do recognize. This is mentioned in the fourth chapter, that in order to know me, you have to become my devotee. And here Prabhupada is saying the same thing. The foolish non-devotees, they can't recognize Krishna. So this is our goal, to become the devotees so that Krishna will be happy to reveal Himself to us. Not by jnanam or not by yoga, not by karma can we come to the Supreme. Because if we are trying to go up to the Supreme in that way, then we'll always become proud. We did something. We accomplished it. Just like in the ordinary world, we think we have a big house or a good job. Because of our, it always comes back to our credit. So that may be okay. Krishna may give us what we deserve in this way. We can get a big house or whatever. But we won't get Krishna in that approach. The only way we can get Krishna is by descending. When He sees that we're sincerely crying for Him and that we are eager to become just the insignificant devotee, then He'll be happy to reveal Himself. Just like when Krishna goes to Hastinapur on behalf of Maharaj Yudhisthira, and Duryodhana is there. And He says, come into the palace, you can live in that. But He says, no, I want to stay with Vidura. Well, what is Vidura? Just the ordinary sutra. But because He was a devotee, of course He was not an ordinary sutra either, but that's another story. But the point is that Krishna was happy to eat and to live with the devotee. And this is natural. We feel the same way. If somebody loves us, we prefer to be with them than in some formal setting and in a big hotel perhaps. You know, people are coming very formally. But we prefer. There's no place like home, isn't it? Home sweet home. Because there we are loved. The loved ones are there. The family is there. We feel comfortable there. We can be natural and be ourselves. So Krishna is also a person. He likes that reciprocation of love. Therefore, it's advised throughout Bhagavad Gita that we should become the devotee. And it's easy. It's not so difficult. You don't have to be a big yogi, go to the Himalayas and hold your nose or something. You don't have to be a great scholar, jnani, and study all the different Vedanta and so on. Even a child can take to it. Like Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, they became great devotees. It wasn't a big qualification. Because Krishna reciprocates with the love. So who can check us if we love Him? Who can stop us from loving Krishna? That depends on us. Everybody has in the Bible it also mentions that Christ said, don't give your pearl to the swine. What is a pearl? The pearl is the best thing you have. What is the best thing you have? Your loving propensity. You can love. You can adore. This is the most valuable thing you have to give. So don't give it to an ordinary thing. Most people, don't reach to Krishna with their love. They settle. And then they feel disappointed. Oh, I loved him, but he didn't reciprocate fully. So then we quarrel. But if we put Krishna in the center, then we can increase our loving propensity. And others won't feel slighted. If we really love Krishna, like Prabhupada was really loving Krishna, then everyone felt satisfied with him. Even there was thousands of people around, they all felt that he loved them also. Because he was loving Krishna, and Krishna is the root, Krishna is the source, Krishna is in our heart. So don't think, oh, if I love Krishna, then I'll neglect my family. No. Your family will appreciate you more if you really become a devotee of Krishna. So this is the goal. We want to become a devotee. Let's finish this prayer for you. So this is the nature of God. Not that we can meditate and become God. God is already God. He's unborn. He's inexhaustible. Now, what is our position? We're not outside of God. We're one of the energies of God, just like fire. Fire is one, we say. There's a fire. But the fire has two energies. We can see light and heat. So God is one, but he has diverse energies. This is easy to understand. But the Mayavadi, the impersonalists, they want to think, no, God is one. Everything is God. There's no distinction. There's no energies and energetic, like we were saying, Shakti and Shaktiman. But this is not true. This is half truth. It's true, there's nothing outside of God. And so in that sense, God is one. But within that oneness, there's variety. Another example. Just like the government is one. But within that one government, there are different departments. It's easy to understand. God is one, but he has different energies. He describes this. Earth and water and air and ether. These are my external energy. This is my material energy. This is not outside of God. This is also God's energy. Then he says, there's the living entities who are struggling here in the material world. They're also part of God. We're also part of God. And then there's the Lord himself. So the position of the living entity, you and I, our constitutional position is to, you can say, glorify the Lord. Prabhupada gives the example of a beautiful diamond. If it's set with emeralds, it makes it look even more beautiful. So God is like the center, and we're like the small diamonds and emeralds that are around the center. This is our constitutional position. And if we engage in that position, then we also become beautiful, because we're connected with the all-beautiful one. We also become, all our good qualities will come to us by connecting. And this is called bhakti yoga. This is the method of connecting. And the easiest way to connect is to chant the holy name. This is the recommended process in this age, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. We can directly connect with the Lord through his holy name. So there's no hard and fast rule for chanting the name. It's open to everyone. As we were saying, even the children can engage. Lord Chaitanya was able to even bring the animals into this Sankirtan movement. When he was moving through the forest, the lions and elephants and tigers, they were also dancing and saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. So, if animals can take part, at least we should be able to. It's not very difficult. Everybody has a voice. There's a famous cartoon that Prabhupada liked in the New Yorker magazine. The old man was on the deathbed, and the wife was encouraging him, chant, chant, chant. And he was responding, can't, can't, can't. So we're chanting something. Everybody's chanting something. It's mostly, you know, poor me, or give me, or like the children, they chant, right? What do they chant? Mine, mine, or me, me. Or... So we're just like the child. We're so self-centered. But if we learn how to chant, that means we're putting God in the center. And then we'll find that we're not the loser. Somehow, mysteriously, even though we're giving everything to God, he's giving everything back. And this is, of course, requires a little faith. that if I give everything to God, won't I be the loser? Like Sukracharya, he was calculating like that. When Vamanadeva came and Bali Maharaj was there and he asked for charity, and Sukracharya said, don't give, because this is Vishnu in disguise. He'll take everything, and then what will we have? So that's what we're calculating. Oh, if I give everything to Krishna, if I give my best thing, my love, my adoration, my awe, my if I cry for Krishna, then what will I have? I better keep that best thing to myself. But no, Krishna wants the best thing from you. He won't be happy unless you give him the best thing. And what is the best thing you have? Is your love. So if you can give your love to him, then he'll be obliged. Just like with Vamana, even though he took everything from Bali, he left him tied up. But still, when he was leaving, Bali was still calling to him in love. Hey, Govinda, hey. And then Vamana became captured by Bali. But out of the love, he became his doorkeeper. Or another example, like Draupadi. When she was trying to take shelter of her husbands, of the elders, and in the assembly, she was being made naked. No one could help her. But when she cried to Krishna, really sincerely cried, then he protected her. So that's the kind of faith we have to cultivate. It may not be easy, it's true, immediately to get that kind of faith, but we can in the association. This is the secret. To associate with those who are more faithful. Nectar devotion, Prabhupada mentions that. Therefore, we should seek out that kind of association. Somebody has more faith, just like Prabhupada came to America. What was our position? We had never even heard of Krishna. So how could we have faith in Krishna? We didn't know. I was an agnostic. I didn't even know if there was God. But by his association, then we began to think, well, maybe there is God. Or maybe it is Krishna. Because here's this old man, by material calculation, a 70-year-old man. He had no bank balance, no factory, no wife, nothing. Just, living in a very meager way. The first time I saw him at 26 Second Avenue, not a good neighborhood. It wasn't a luxury apartment, some little place in the back. Sitting on the floor with a desk, aluminum steel, aluminum trunk that you see from India, right? That was his desk. He had a little cloth on top of it. And it was a 26th Second Avenue. I mean, it was like Second Avenue, downtown New York. It was not a good neighborhood. So how was he so joyful? How was he able to attract all of us? Because he was getting his satisfaction, you can say, or some connection from another place except externally. He wasn't dependent on money and women or whatever, prestige and power, because he was connected with the Lord in his heart. And so he was joyful. He was able to, and so enthusiastic and powerful. You see the photo of him there in Thompson Square Park standing by the tree. He looks so. And chanting. Did you ever see the film where he's chanting and playing a drum? And his whole face is into it. He's so enthusiastic and so one-pointed, determined, because he's connected with Krishna. So we can also have that connection. And then we can be happy. Otherwise, you won't be happy. This is chewing the chewed, Prahlad describes. We think, if I surround myself with my relatives and friends and nicer, it won't stop. You'll still be anxiety will come in. Is there any family that there's no anxiety? Any family that you met? There's always some anxiety, right? The nature is anxious. Birth is full of anxiety. Like we just heard this morning, yesterday, the one devotee, his child was born. 1 hour later, the child left. So much anxiety. He was saying how he was so exalted when the child was born. 1 hour later, he was so devastated. So who can determine what these things? This is the nature of the material world. There's always some problem. Dukkalayam shashvatam. Dukkalayam means a place of suffering, and shashvatam, it's temporary. But we're trying to make a permanent situation here. We think, I'll be permanently here in, North Dallas or whatever, and then I'll be happy. But it won't be possible. Nobody can be made permanently. It was always shifting, problematic. Okay, so any questions? So from any position, you can take this process. That's the point I was going to make, was you don't have to be sannyasi, some kind of qualification. Just take it up. The ladies can take it up. Keep a little picture of Krishna. Krishna says, offer me in love a fruit, a flower. What is the difficulty? You have flour, you can bring it, offer to Krishna's picture, bow down, offer a little prasadam. A simple process. What is the problem? The problem is we're not simple.
We understand that you had a lot of association of Prabhupada. Could you relate some stories with him or some of his pastimes? Because it's often that we don't get to, it's very rare that we get to hear anything about his,
You want to hear the stories how he was appreciating me or chastising me?
Anything.
Well, he did both.
Maybe you can also tell as to, even if someone is chastising us, there is something good in that, how sweet it is. So,
We felt it was sweet because we saw into Prabhupada's heart that there was no malice, that when he was angry, that really was mercy, that he was giving us attention. I remember once that a devotee came to India, and then to Vrindavan, we were there, and Prabhupada, greeted him and said, thank you for coming, and so on. Then after about 10 days, we were on a morning walk, and Prabhupada asked for this devotee, where is so-and-so? And the report was given that Prabhupada, he went to Delhi, he's getting his ticket back to America, he doesn't like it here in India. So Prabhupada stopped and he was annoyed. And he said, he doesn't want to follow me, but he must follow. Now he's following his mind. His mind is saying, go here, he has to go here. His mind is saying, go here, he has to go here. And then Prabhupada spoke like that. And I remember a few days later, the devotee came back from Delhi, had his ticket, I guess. And I was there, and I mentioned Prabhupada so-and-so is here. And then I saw that Prabhupada was like indifferent. And I was like, so then from my position, I realized, boy, much better that if he's angry with you, then he's indifferent.
Right.
Because if he's angry with you, that means he thinks that you can be corrected. And otherwise he won't give that in energy. If he's indifferent, then all right, you can do what you want to do. Because he sees that you're independent, so he won't invest that kind of energy. So, therefore, if we had that kind of, knowledge of Prabhupada's personality, then we, if he was chastising us, we could see that that was just like a Dvaitacharya. He was unhappy that the Lord was always respecting him as an elder, as a superior. But he knew in his heart that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my worshipable Lord. So he was becoming disturbed that every time I go, I meet Lord Chaitanya, he falls at my feet, he respects me because Lord Advaita was older. Lord Chaitanya was following the etiquette. So one day, he just to get the Lord mad, he started preaching this Mayavadi philosophy. And then the Lord heard about it. And he came in an angry mood to chastise him. And he chastised him. And then Advaita fell at his feet and he said, yes, thank you. This is the right position. You should be chastising me. You're my master. You have a right to chastise me. So then, Lord Chaitanya was a little embarrassed because he was like tricked a little bit. But it was a transcendental trick. But I had a similar experience once with Prabhupada. I was preaching, Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, and I was preaching in Chandigarh. Then I came to Vrindavan, I spoke to Prabhupada, and I said, I wanted to go to Delhi and distribute your books office to office because they were doing it in Bombay and I had the idea we could do it there. So Prabhupada said, well, what about Chaitaguru? He gave me permission, so it's okay. So Prabhupada said, all right, if you have permission, you can. So then about 1 or 2 months later, again I was in Delhi then, so I came, Prabhupada was still in Vrindavan, so I came to Vrindavan to see Prabhupada. But when I came in, Prabhupada said, why are you here now? Because he thought I was coming again to change my assignment or something. Like that. But then, I just replied very innocently. I said, no, Prabhupada, I just came because I wanted to see you. And then Prabhupada was like a little defeated. Because I was just speaking like a child, you know. I said, no, Prabhupada, I wanted to see you. And then how can I, Prabhupada looked up and he said, what can I do? So he said, all right. That's, he gave up his anger. Because I didn't come to change my assignment or something. He didn't like us just every, 2 weeks saying, I want to do this now I want to do this. And generally, he gave us a one-year assignment. We would meet every year at Mayapur, at least minimum. We would go, because otherwise the mind can, every 10 minutes you can have something new you want to do, right? So he would want us to be at least steady for 1 year and then come again and see, and then review how the preaching is going and then, like that. So his anger was transcendental, because it took us some time to realize that, but not too long, because he was very transparent, very open, and then you could see that he, like, I'll give you an example. I was giving massage to him in London in the beginning, 1969. That was my service. Every day I would give him massage. He would sit like this, and then it would take about an hour, 45 minutes, an hour. I start with his head. It was hard. You had to do it. He liked the hard massage. So, I was giving massage for a week or so, and then we had a program, an open program. The first time we really had a big program in London. And there was about 300 or 400 people came, mostly Hindus. A lot of Hindus in London, and we had advertised, and so they came. They weren't very submissive, though. They were challenging. So this was early days, we were all just new devotees, 1-2 years. And Prabhupada was dealing so strongly, we were like in awe that he was just like a lion, One man, I remember in a big assembly, right? One man was interrupting Prabhupada, said, sit down, you are nonsense. And we were thinking, wow, I never saw Prabhupada like this before. He was just... So I was giving massage, and it was a series of lectures, so he was going to give a lecture again. And I was thinking that I was getting him in shape for another, knockout performance. Like, giving massage like that.